Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this week. We certainly do appreciate it, as always, to hear about what's going on in the rail space and what's going on in the rail markets. I want to take a minute before we begin and remind everybody to join us this September, the 13th through the 17th, in Indianapolis at the Crown Plaza Union Station at the FTR Transportation Conference. We'll be back in person this year. A little bit different format because of capacity limitations and capacity restrictions, but we still hope everybody's able to join us so that you can get the best and up-to-date information about the truck market, the truck and trailer equipment markets, the rail freight markets, and the rail equipment markets. And this year, on Friday, because Rail Equipment Finance was not able to have their usual conference this March in Palm Springs, California, there's going to be a mid-year update on Friday. So if you're in the rail equipment space, make plans now to stay until Friday and get that additional information about the rail equipment markets and rail equipment valuations to help guide your business into the fall before we all go back out to Palm Springs next March. We're very happy to partner and join with David Nahas, Will Geiger, and the Railroad Financial team to bring that to you as part of an extra on the end of our FTR conference to sort of provide everybody with the most well-rounded and complete view of the market that we can over those days. And with that, let's jump right in. The four-week averages and the week-to-week numbers still show slightly different stories. If you're looking at the numbers, there's definitely a little bit of a disconnect there, a little bit of a sense that things maybe aren't quite in parallel, but they're at least stable. If you look at things, you don't see wild dislocations and wild disconnects. They're essentially pretty close, but they are definitely, you can craft different stories from them, whether you look at the four-week average or whether you look at the week-to-week numbers, depending on what story you're looking to tell. On the intermodal side, containers continue to go at a very strong pace, a historic pace. The trailer market has shown some weakness over the last 2 weeks. We've seen a little bit of a degradation there. Again, it doesn't really show up in the four-week numbers yet, but on a week-to-week basis, you can definitely see the decline in the trailer market. So let's jump right in and talk about that intermodal market. Overall, intermodal numbers are fairly stable. You're holding right about 385,000 or so carloads a week. That's well above 45,000 carloads a week above the five-year average where we'd expect to be this time of year. So it's definitely the intermodal space continues to run very, very well. You have a tight truck market. You have a lot of factors putting pressure on the system. You have very strong active truck utilization. You have truck drivers who left during COVID who have not yet come back. You have a lot of things, record low inventories across the retail sectors, particularly automotive, but elsewhere as well. That are pushing the retail inventory to sales number down. That creates demand in the system. That means retailers have to find a way to get their product to market, and people are definitely taking advantage of intermodal to try and get that, to try and fix what they can't get in the truck market. They're able to go out in the intermodal space and to some extent find the capacity they're looking for. The trailer market has starting to show some weakness. Now, I've said all along this is going to be the first segment to show some weakness. So we're going to have to keep an eye on this as we go forward over the next month and see if this is just episodic, if this is just a blip, or whether this is the start of a trend, whether this is the start of the end of pressure in the system. Right now, we don't think that's the case. We think there's still significant strength in the system through the end of 2021, but we'll have to see. This could be a little bit of a canary in the coal mine. The four-week average number really doesn't do it justice if you look on a week-to-week basis. We're down closer to 23,000 carloads a week, closer to that four-week average number. So we'll just have to see as we go forward, what do trailers do, whether there's a resurgence there or whether we continue on this declining flight plan that we've been on. On the container side of the house, we continue to grow. We're not growing quite the way we were earlier in the year, but we're still ever so slightly moving up and to the right, really holding, if you will, right around that 360,000 carload a week level without much movement one way or the other. Switching gears to the carload markets, overall carload volumes are really very close to their five-year average. We took a little bit of a step down last week. We pretty much made that back in the latest week. So we're really just holding very steady, right around 340,000 carloads a week, very close to that five-year average number. Now, economically sensitive freight on a four-week average basis looks very close to the five-year number. If you look week to week, you can see that it went down last week and it did not bounce back the way we saw in overall carload. It really sort of, it bounced a little bit, but it really wasn't really meaningful. And so economically sensitive freight really hasn't shown the same bump, because that bump, as you'll see in a minute, is really due to a strength in coal and strength in some of the energy commodities. Whereas economically sensitive freight, we don't look at petroleum, we don't look at coal, we don't look at ag, we look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. And that's where, in the latest couple of weeks, the strength has come from. It's come from those bulk sectors and those energy sectors that aren't captured in the economically sensitive number. Speaking of coal, this is the highest number for coal in the latest week that we've seen since the pandemic began. We're up close to 75,000 carloads a week on a week-to-week basis. The four-week average number, hasn't reflected all of that strength yet. But if we see this sustain, it certainly will. You know, when you see things increase 7,000 carloads a week, week to week, that's certainly a significant bump, certainly something worth taking note of, worth calling home about. Do we think it's sustainable in the coal markets? No, not really. But anytime you look at a jump of that magnitude, you have to take a wait-and-see approach. It has to slow you down a little bit. You have to sort of say, okay, let's see what this is going to be. Are we going to establish a new normal, or are we going to go back to where we were? We just don't know. We think we're going back where we were, but we don't know that for sure. And until we do, we have to see, take a wait-and-see approach and see where coal takes us going forward. Grain volumes, a little bit of weakness in the last couple of weeks in an absolute basis, but still running at very strong levels, running well above the five-year average, running much stronger than we have on a year-over-year basis. Things continue to look good for grain, even if you're starting to see things slip. Even if you're starting to see things slow down a little bit, they're slowing down from a very healthy level. And I want everybody to understand that the grain story continues even as things start to slow down a little bit. The chemicals sector. Chemicals continues to go gangbusters. The four-week average number shows a little bit of continued momentum up and to the right, some continued strengthening. If you look at the week-to-week numbers, what you'll see is a lot of volatility really hanging out very close to the prior peak in February before we had all those weather-related disruptions that hit the chemicals industry particularly hard. So really, we've gotten back to where we were before all that disruption, and we're holding that level. And we're holding that level over the last really month or so, and we expect to continue to hold at that level for the foreseeable future. Those chemicals plants that were offline want to make up that volume, want to make up those sales. And so we expect that this will continue to run at those strong levels as we go forward in time. Petroleum products. The four-week average number shows a pretty flat story. The week-to-week numbers, you see a little bit of strength in the last week. You wouldn't necessarily expect it to stay flat. With what you've seen in the crude price market, you would expect to see petroleum products get some strength. You would expect to see things reflect that in additional volume trying to move to the Gulf Coast. And we have seen a little bit of that in the last couple of weeks. We have to see if it will continue. You would expect crude prices to continue to rise as the economic recovery continues, as more things open, as there's more demand, more people are working, higher demand for goods. You would expect to see higher crude prices. Higher crude prices should support higher petroleum products loadings. We'll have to see as we go forward in time, but that is certainly what we would expect over the weeks and quarters to come in that sector. Stone, sand, and gravel. We've talked about this a lot over the months of this podcast. We had a really stratospheric gain coming out of the weather issues in February. That has leveled off. It's turned a little bit down in the last couple of weeks. We're not seeing the sort of continued growth that you would expect to see this time of year as more construction projects take off. We haven't seen evidence of that. We got back to a level right about 25,000, 26,000 carloads a week, and now we've just sort of held our ground there. We have not continued to increase. We're about 5,000 carloads a week below our five-year average. So there is room to grow in this sector, but there are a lot of headwinds here. We've talked at length in previous editions of the podcast about what some of those headwinds are. You know, we need to keep those in mind. Those aren't going away. We don't expect this commodity type to make up the gap that it has with its five-year average. We don't expect to see a major turnaround here until we see a major change in the market and a resetting of the baseline, really, to sort of lap all of the sand volume that was in the number from those times when drilling sand and frack sand were all the rage. They're no longer all the rage. We have to see what that true baseline is for this commodity group. Lumber and wood continues to go gangbusters. You continue to see some decent volumes here. We're above the five-year average by a couple hundred carloads, and we continue to run there. Even on a week-to-week basis, lumber and wood continues to show strength. Now, we'll have to see as interest rates creep up, you know, what does that do for housing? What does that do for the price of housing in the marketplace? Do you start to price people out? Do you see a slowing of the housing market? And what does that do to lumber and wood as we go through the back half of the year? We don't know yet. We expect this is a modest increase above the five-year average. We expect to be able to sustain this level for the next couple of months, but we'll really have to see, watch the housing market closely to try and predict where this number goes as you get to the fourth quarter, as you get into 2022 and beyond. Pulp and paper, we saw a little bit of a bump about a month ago. That has leveled off. We're still several hundred carloads below our five-year average, and we're just sort of holding our ground here. We're holding our ground right about 7,800 carloads a week without a catalyst higher. All the e-commerce demand, all the box board demand potentially could ease as we get into a reopening, as folks do less working from home, as people do less shopping from home. You know, there's less demand for those goods. You know, there was a comment by a retail chief executive in the press just this week that there's real pent-up demand for people to get out and shop. Well, if you go out and shop, you know, Amazon or other retailers are not bringing those goods to your door. You're having to go out and get them. You don't bring goods home from your favorite retailer in a cardboard box, typically. You bring it home in a bag. You bring it home in another way that's not a cardboard box in most cases. And so we'll have to see what happens to this number as we go forward in time, as things continue to reopen, as folks feel more and more comfortable going out to shopping malls, going out to strip malls, going out to retail establishments. We'll have to see what happens here with this number, but there could certainly be downside pressure as we go forward. Speaking of downside pressure, the automotive market has really been under pressure and continues to be so, whether it's a four-week average basis, whether it's a week-to-week basis. Motor vehicles continue to trail the five-year average. They continue to move further and further away from the five-year average because they cannot simply get the parts they need, the semiconductors and other parts they need to finish vehicles and send them to dealer lots, send them to consumers. They just can't get them, and that's weighing on loadings. And that will continue to weigh on loadings until that situation gets resolved. We're down under 20,000 carloads a week at this point. You know, that is a very low number when you think about the fact that at the height of the pandemic, we were down 6,000, 7,000 carloads a week. The weather-related issues this past February drove us down to 18,000-19,000 carloads a week. We're basically back to a level that is commensurate with the weather-related disruptions we saw earlier this year, and we're not going to move until the supply issues get resolved. I've heard all varying estimates of when this issue will resolve. Some people have said third quarter. Other people have said third quarter of 2022. Those have massively different implications for the outlook for the automotive sector and where we expect this volume number to go through the balance of the year and into 2022. And I've said before, and I've said in our reports, you know, if you go beyond the end of the second quarter, if we're still talking about these part shortages into the third quarter, you're going to have to think about materially pulling down your expectations for 2021 automotive volumes. You're going to have to think about some of that volume getting pushed into 2022 and what that does for your outlook, what that does for your volume projections and your margin projections through the balance of the year. So to wrap up, most carload sectors are fairly stable. You're pretty much holding your ground in most cases. There's some puts and takes. Certainly energy, coal, petroleum products have outperformed in the latest week. If you look at our freight rail recovery indexes, you can certainly see that. But overall, the carload sectors are stable. In the intermodal markets, things are running at high levels. But if you were to stock pick, if you were to say, you know, is intermodal a buy, a hold, or a sell? You would not say intermodal is a buy. You would not say there's another 40% or even 20% upside from where we are because of how strong a level we're operating at. We'll just have to see how much upside remains as we get into both the summer lull and the peak season. We'll have to see where we go from here. Is there another gear that can be found for intermodal given the congestion that we've seen at some terminals, given the congestion we've seen at the ports, given the chassis issues we've seen out in the marketplace at certain terminals? How much upside really remains for intermodal as we go through the balance of the year? I would posit that it can't really go much higher than it is right now unless something changes, unless we start to solve some congestion issues, unless we start to solve some chassis issues. I don't think we can go all that much higher from where we are, but time will tell. I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. I hope I am wrong on this. I hope the intermodal market is able to go beyond its present levels of volume, but we'll just have to wait and see. And with that, I thank you all for joining us this week. I hope you have a great week. Hope you stay safe. As always, if you have questions about this or anything else you're hearing in the marketplace, feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team. We're always happy to help, happy to talk about the market, hear what you're seeing in the market. And we'll talk again next week. Have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice, and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.